How's that? Okay, I threw one to Doug here real quick to try to see if we can bring a little video up. And if you could just click on that and just let it kind of play in the background, because then it eventually goes to some shots of Love Inc. But I'm always thankful to be here, and anytime anybody gives me a microphone, I always speak some of my other passions before I speak what I'm supposed to be speaking and everything. But I saw about five young men here. If there's any young men that's not doing anything Sunday evenings, send them down to our shop. We have Royal Rangers. It's like Boy Scouts, but much more Christian-oriented. And so keep that in mind. And also Love Inc. I just want to thank you from Love in the name of Christ for the support that you continually send us. We really thank you for sharing Nick Rummel with us, who has built the website, and he's just on call for our constant computer problems. But it's a new year at Love Inc., and we're the board restructures next month and everything. This year, we're going to have a $200,000 budget at Love in the Name of Christ, which is just unimaginable. And that comes from donations, from fundraising, from the church support to get the work accomplished that lays ahead of us. And this video is Bev speaking about, I'll see if we can get links put on to your website or something that you can check out these two videos and you can hear the words. But this is Bev telling how the new building came to be. There's Love Inc. with the green building up above, and this building to the left and the one behind it have been donated to Love in the Name of Christ for free.
Said that they had purchased the building that they were moving. And jokingly, I said to him, do you think the owner would donate that to us? Because we had become full capacity here, having trailers and storage and everything. And
those two upper white buildings are the new property. $125,000 property. We've been praying for 3 years, and this year it was finally dropped into our lap. We have the yard sale in the one building. There's room behind for furniture storage. There's room above to be renovated for three apartments. We're going to have a handicap apartment since it's commercial code, so that'll be four apartments. And then that whole back building is wide open for more storage. There's actually a deck built in there because it was a tire shop. So it gives us almost two layers of storage all in the same building. And so God is really, really moving at Love Inc. We're excited about that. But it brings a whole lot of other problems and issues along with it. We're working on getting a building committee together to get a master plan in place before we start, so that we have a plan rather than just starting blindly. And then we're hoping that this committee will help acquire donations and help publicize the work and get volunteers and to help just mobilize the businesses to help get this done. God's just really put in my heart that we need to really target businesses this year. And let's say somebody does heating and ventilation, for them to get on board and say, we want to be part of this, and for them to help donate the time and money and materials and their expertise. And there'll be other volunteers come along to help with that. But I just really feel that we need to drive and put a push on businesses this year. So if you can talk to the businesses in your circles of influence and help make them aware of what's going on, we would really, really appreciate it. A couple other things that Love Inc. is doing is we are working on not enabling many of the repeat clients. That we see thick files from the same reoccurring problems. And just giving them the thing to get them out of that little problem is not what they really, really need. And so we're working more on budget counseling and holding accountable and things like that this year. We're really pushing down that path. Better communication is something we've been working on for years, and Nick has been helping us out there with that. And we really appreciate that. Pastor awareness is one of the big pushes that we're doing this year to make more pastors in the communities aware of what Love in the Name of Christ is doing and the resources available, so that it's just not like one more thing piled on top of a pastor, but they'll see it as a resource that for the problems that they have that are coming to the congregations, that they see Love Inc. also as a resource to answer those. No individual church has enough resources to fill all the needs if the congregation is truly out in the community helping the people. That's going to bring a certain amount of needs, and there's no churches big enough to handle all that. But as we come together, God does supply all of his needs. And so by coming together, we're going to be able to get more accomplished than we can just individually. And the only way we're going to do that is when we truly get a godly compassion for others. And we're actually going to talk about that more in today's lesson here, but let's pray first before we go into the lesson part. And And Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing here at Acts Community Church. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just open up our hearts and minds today, that you will hear what you have to say today. And Lord, just stop my lips from saying the things that are out of my own humanness. And Lord, just open my lips and let it pour out, Lord, more of your spirit and what you said here today. Lord, we just ask this in your holy name. Amen. I started thinking about this early in the week, and I talked to Pastor John partway through the week to make sure that I was headed down an acceptable path and everything. But there's three incidents in particular that I'd like to mention that happened in Bedford County here in the past 7 months or so. And all these were publicly put out there, and I mean, it's in the news and the internet and things like that. And I just want to say that I don't want us to focus on the people in these situations. That's not where I'm headed. But I want us to take a look at the situations as a whole and how they're similar, and then our responsibility at the end of these situations, if that makes sense. Just to take a real look at how these situations have affected us. So the first one I'd like to mention is pretty close to Kathy and I. Two houses down from us, no further than from here to the first parked car out there from our house, one neighbor went across the street and shot another one. Later that day, the house burnt, as I don't know if we still heard what caused it or who actually said it. I don't know if that's come out yet, but the house got burnt down, and right now they just bulldozed it down 2 weeks ago. And the person that in that house that did the shooting, many times we would talk to him. He would come over, and in the winter he got a Kubota tractor and he just loved pushing snow. He would come over and plow our driveway. We talked to him many times. Kathy talked to him about coming to the men's Bible study we have at Love in the Name of Christ on Monday nights. I talked to him one time. He was Kathy had talked to him. I talked to him about it. And one night I was leaving to go over there, and he was getting firewood in. I said, just come along. Well, I'm all dirty. I said, it doesn't matter. I go dirty every week. I just go and work clothes every week. It's just us there. It'll be okay. And he was like this close to coming to Bible study that night, but I just quite couldn't get him there. As you talk to people, they say, oh yeah, he's a good person. You know, he's just, you know, got some problems, got some issues going on like we all do. The second incident was September 25th, and it was again somewhat in the paper again this week. Jimmy Dineen from Hyman was killed and then burnt in a Volkswagen somewhere. There was drugs of some kind involved. And he's a first cousin of the pastor of the church I attended, Hyman. And I know that he heard the word of God from the pastor and from the family. There's no doubt in my mind that he heard. They said he loved to hunt. People said he's a good guy. You know, he just has some issues going on just like we all do, you know. A couple weeks later, I was teaching Sunday school class to the fourth, fifth, sixth graders, and I mentioned broken home in passing. And one of the kids didn't know what that meant. And as I was explaining it, well, you know, maybe the parents are divorced, maybe a parent's dead or separated or something. And a little bit later, I noticed off to the side, another little girl was weeping. And one of the girls went over and mothered her and comforted her. And I said, you okay? Yeah, she was okay. And then later on, after the lesson, I got to talk to her and she said, my dad died. I found out later that week, as I talked to the leadership above me about this, they said, yeah, they said, Jimmy was her dad. That girl was in my class and I didn't even know it. I'm 30 some miles away. I don't know many of the kids that I'm speaking their family situations, but that really ripped at my heart. The third one is more recent, and the Woodbury murder of Stephanie Waters. Two kids talked about it for weeks, wanting to steal weed from somebody, and they also talked about a desire to shoot somebody. This one seems very different. It seems like this one was very premeditated evil. It was thought about long before. It was a wrong desire, which I'm sure they knew, but they were waiting and looking for an opportunity, and it wouldn't matter who it was, when it was. They had determined that that's what they wanted to do. So that feels very different in a way than some of the other ones. The other ones were a little bit more in the heat of the moment kind of thing, maybe, or something, you know, or situations that got out of hand, but this one felt a little bit different. So they shot her twice, shot the dog, and drove around smoking weed while she was still alive in the back for 20 minutes, which I can't imagine. I just really can't. I've read some of the internet comments from people who knew her. And again, the same thing, a good person. Yeah, well, you know, we don't agree with everything she was doing, you know, but, you know, just living her life trying to get by. And time again, we hear that same scenario. We see these as horrible murders and crimes. We say we shouldn't be seeing that happening here. It's supposed to be safe here in Bedford County. That's why many people even move here and bring their families here, because it's a safe environment away from the stuff that we see here happening in the cities. It's supposed to be safe here. When things like this happen, it shakes our foundation, and fear starts to set in. And we start to change our routines. And we start to not do what we used to do. We start to get paralyzed and paranoid. We start to take extreme measures, and we stop doing some of the normal activities that we used to enjoy doing, like sitting on the porch on a sunny day, reading a book, and going for a walk when the sun is setting, because now it's getting dusk and things going on. We start to withdraw back into our own little lives. I'm not saying to not lock your doors and take the keys out of the switch and things like that we've, you know, done like that in the country for a good many years. I'm talking about fear-driven changes because of the terror of a situation. I'm not talking about the fear of the Lord, which is a reverence for the Lord, and neither am I talking about like the fear of heights that, you know, God gives us as a safety mechanism, you know, for our own safety. I've heard that there's a phobia of clowns. I don't know where that fits in. That doesn't fit anywhere, anything here to what we're talking about. That's something completely different, and I don't know what that's about, you know. But, you know, fears are emotions, and they're real, and they're strong, and they drive us. My wife, I asked if it was okay if I share this, but my wife hates mice. She hates their beady little eyes. She hates their little tail, the little short hair. She hates them. So not long after we got married, it was springtime, and it was getting warm enough now, so I shaved my beard off. And it was all laying in a sink, and I start to, you know, get it up, get all the hair out of the sink, and I go, So I start working a little bit now, and I form the front a little bit more, and I had an idea. And so I form this a little bit more, and I let this stick out just a little bit between the washer and dryer, and then I just left it. Well, it was a day or two later until she found it, and she said, I wasn't there, but she said she yelled and screamed, ran out, slammed the door shut, made all kinds of noise, went back in later and looked, and it was still there, and terror again came up through her heart, you know. And I told a lady this, and she thought I was an absolutely horrible person for doing this, you know. But I can still feel a smile coming to my face as I think about this, you know. And it did send there. And Kathy does think it's funny, you know. She thought it was funny afterwards. But a couple years later, now I have to be a little more careful about this now. I have to wait till she goes to work before I shave my beard off for the year and everything again, you know. So when she comes home, so then a couple years later, then I did another nicer, bigger one on the back of the toilet lid, you know, and it was more of a little bit rad. I had little haunches up on the back air. I had little paws coming out. I got some gray and put in for the little ears, and it had a nice little curve to the tail, you know. And so we do have fun with that now. She kind of expects it that time of year, I guess. But my point was, the fear and the terror in that split second moment when she first looked over and saw that peeking out from the washer and dryer sent terror up through her. I thought about Jim Veach, you know, and him here, and I thought, man, he's got enough. He could do like a weasel or something. But, you know, fear is real. So what we got to do is we got to take a look at this problem. We feel fear pushing into our lives. We start to see that we're doing things reactive. And so we've got to take a look and see what God says about fear. And I'm not going to go real deep into this because we already know a whole lot of this, you know, but I've heard it says 365 times in the Bible, fear not. That's what God says. He says, fear not. And Hebrews 13:5, the end of that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And there's many other verses that we have tucked away in our brain that we stand on when we think about fear. Is there anybody out here today that has a verse that really just jumps out to you that you stand on when you think of fear? It's going to be a little bit interactive here for just a moment, but does anybody have a verse that just really just jumps out when they fear something pushing in that one that comes to their mind? okay? It doesn't have the word fear in there, but that very thought says, I can get through this. I can do this. Exactly. Proverbs 3:25 was taught to me one night in a Bible study, and I have not forgotten these words. And this has probably been 10 years ago. It was just another night where I decided, many things that we could have done on it Friday night, but Kathy and I decided we're going to Bible study. And Richard and Amy Trickett brought this verse out, and it says, it's Proverbs 3:25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. But that sudden fear is like that terror, when just that, it just washes down over and you can just feel it coming down upon you. And then 2 Timothy 1:7 is one of the first verses. I memorize it because I saw value in it, but it's one of the first verses that I really, really remember standing on. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And the first time that I stood on that, I was actually standing on top of a 40-foot ladder. For some reason, I thought it'd be a good idea to get a 40-foot ladder. Somebody saw I had a long ladder, and so I was on the top of a chimney. The ladder extended a full way. The ladder wasn't quite high enough. The top of the ladder was about here. So I'm trying to lean into the chimney, one hand around it, and I had to lift the chimney cap up and move it over and down because a limb had pushed that out of the way. And I felt my legs start to do this, and it started to shake, and Son Philip was down below holding, and he's, are you okay up there? Because I was shaking it so bad. And I just had to take a couple deep breaths, and I said that out loud on the top of a ladder over and over until I thought, I'm going to get through this. I picked the little thing up, and the little block went like this. It started to come down. And I thought, oh my goodness, if I raise it again, that block is going to tilt, and it's going to be sitting there on 3 points. What am I going to do if that falls down the chimney? I had to raise this up, let go of this hand around the chimney, reach around like this without seeing, lean into the chimney, lift this up and get that block over and down. And somehow, by the grace of God, I got it done. That was the first time I ever took it. I don't enjoy heights. I don't like going up 50 or 40 foot ladders. But through God's help and standing on that verse, I was able to overcome fear in a real life situation and get something done that I could not do in my own strength. That's what I'm talking about. We need to realize that fear is operating in God's camp instead of God's kingdom. This kind of fear is not of God because it is believing God can't or won't protect or provide for me. It's the very nature of God to want to protect, to be our protector and our provider. In the Garden of Eden, that was his plan, his perfect plan right from the beginning, to protect and provide for us. So we need to start to think of fear as a lack of faith and trust in God. And we have to realize that he is fully aware and in control of the situation. And it needs to be said now that, yes, we do live in a fallen world, an evil world. And there's free will choices that people are going to make, and God does not stop free will. Yes, God does allow bad things to happen to good people. But just like the song we sang about dancing me very unaware, it just made me think about God's angel armies that he sends down to protect us. And this is happening unaware around us in situations like that. We need to keep that in mind, that we are being protected and provided by God, even in situations where other people's free will is pushing into our lives. God does allow, but does not cause evil to happen to us. That's enough on fear now, but the question here today is, what do we do when we feel ourselves slipping into that sudden terror, or because of a situation that happens two doors down from us, and we feel fear coming over us and starting to change our routine because of that fear? What do we do? In Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And trust being the key word there. We have to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, God's got it under control. This didn't sneak up on him, and that we just need to continue down the path that he has for us that lays ahead of us. John 17:6. We are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And that's where we get the verse about in the world, but not of the world. God still wants us in the world. He wants us hand and feet out in the community. He doesn't want us to move away to a cloister, to work into a little commune, secluded from the evil world. He doesn't want us to just stay in our very small circle of friends that we're comfortable with. He doesn't want us to be paralyzed by fear, but he wants us to be out in the world being a light. And we hear those words about being out in the world in a light, you know, that's all very poetic and religious. It sounds biblical and everything, but we really do need to get out and get involved in the lives, in the people, in the communities around us. Ministry is messy, it's uncomfortable, it's inconvenient, and we may need to sacrifice our schedules and our desires to accomplish what God really wants us to do. We need to develop a compassion for caring of others because God cares for them. And once we start doing that, you'll find that it's very easy to start overlooking all the worldly things that we look at in somebody else's life and say, well, they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. When you start to have a compassion, a godly compassion for others, you can start to see they've been deceived, they've been lied to, and it really does make a big difference when you start to look at it with compassion, because then you start to say, okay, I see what the real problem is here. And it makes it much easier to want to work into their lives. Many are deceived into dumbed down, worldly versions of morality, very far from what God said is holy. So how will they ever learn the truth? And I pondered that this week a lot, thinking about the Woodbury teens. Was there somebody there in the life of those teens? That's what I thought about for a long time. Because I believe that God does put people in our paths as we're heading down a bad path to show us the light. I believe that whenever God speaks to us, he first starts to speak in a still small voice. Dennis. And then whenever I disregard that, he starts to talk louder. Dennis. Dennis is a third time. And then he starts to use other people to speak to us. And then every time we turn the radio on, there's a song or a sermon that's like right straight towards the problem that we're trying to run away from. Sooner or later, a complete stranger that doesn't know anything about us or our situation will say, you know what, I just feel that I just need to say this to you today. Somebody didn't even know about us will then speak in our life. If we disregard all of those gentle steps that God is doing to get us to come to him and to change our way, then he doesn't have much other choice but to, as he's done many times in the Bible, take his hands away, let us go down a path of destruction until we hit rock bottom and it finally gets our attention and we cry out to God. So the Woodbury murder, I'm really anxious as this goes out to hear if video games had anything to do with the mentality that these two young men were in. I keep thinking of the words premeditated evil. And I was sharing a little bit of where I was going this week with this. And I said, is there any, I have to wonder if there's somebody in her life. And they said, well, yes. Yes, I know there was. And so the person I was speaking to gave me the name of somebody else, which I called this week. And the second person I spoke to talked to somebody who they themselves had one of those young men in their house for meals, had them sleep over at their house, in their beds, in their home, that had taken them to youth group, and it had spoken to them and prayed with them as they led an example of what this person needed to be. So I know that at least one of these kids had somebody in their life that was tugging them and pulling them in the correct direction. So there's no doubt in my mind that they heard the word of God. And once they had heard the word of God, they had a responsibility to reason with the other friend whenever they were starting to talk and steer towards evil. So we know that the opportunity was there. Some will be told and not heed, and they will make bad choices. 1 Corinthians 5:5 is a tough verse, and it talks about to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. As that was explained to me by men, that sometimes some are hands off and allowed Satan to have his way in their lives for a season, that their souls may be saved, that they may hit rock bottom and they'll come to a place where they can and will hear. And I know two men that helped me at the Shore House, Love in the Name of Christ is working on Thursday afternoons, they go up to the Bedford County Jail. And I know that if those two young men decide to go to that chapel service, they will once again hear that it's not too late, but there is a chance that they can once again come to a relationship with God and be forgiven for everything, just as we've been forgiven. As we come on down through here, my mind all week kept going to Revelations 21:8. And this is a list in the end times, and it says this. And this is, you'll see. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the martyrs, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and the liars shall all have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It lists in that list of, I know we're not supposed to. I know all sins are the same, but they're not. But we still, as humans, categorize sins. Well, at least I don't steal. At least I don't murder. At least I don't do this. But they're in that list, the very first one, but the fearful. The fearful. Over in the study Bible notes, it says the cowardly. And so I thought, well, there's got to be more to it than this. And so Pastor John has often mentioned that blueletterbible.org. So this morning, I checked there on this. It's Greek number 1169. I don't know how to pronounce it. And it's used three times in the New Testament. And so here's the three verses it's used, the one that I just read, and then Mark 8:26. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was great calm. I'm pretty sure he was talking to his disciples when he used this weird word, fearful, in that sentence. The second one, Mark 4:40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So I have to take a look at this word fearful in Revelations 21, and I think when we're operating in fear and changing our lives and reverting back into our own little safe worlds, we are operating in fear. And that is not what God wants us to do. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to send you out as lambs among wolves. But he said, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to go with you in the midst of those situations. This is the only way that it's ever going to make a difference in the lives of others. Us reverting back into our own safe little worlds is not going to help anybody else. It's not going to change any of the situations in our community, in the lives of those that need us. There are three more points that I wanted to make that are not kind of going down through the same thread here, but just three points that just really stood out at me this week that I just want to touch on real quick. Number one, weed. People say it's not that bad. It's actually legal in some states. We hear the word weed more than marijuana now because it's a softer, less bad word. It doesn't sound quite as bad, but it's a rationalizing and it's a lowering the standard of our morals. And then what happens is then those become the normal standards for the kids that are growing up in that situation. I've seen that happen many times with the kids from a Circle of Love that I've worked with over the years. There's a Greek word, pharmaceutica. I'm not sure exactly which one it is here, where we get the word pharmacy, which, we think of drugs. But it also refers to a spirit of sorcery and, a mind-altered state. It's where you're not in control of your own mind. But what happens is you are not mentally in control of yourself for actions whose consequences that you will be held eternally accountable for. Let me read that again. You are not mentally in control of yourself for actions whose consequences you will be held eternally accountable for. We have to fight for that high standard of holiness in our lives and the lives of those in our community. The second thing, there are many people, and I heard many comments, that were sad about the dog. They were more sad about the dog than they were the life of the young lady that lost her life and the two people whose lives are now ruined because of the actions they took. They were more worried about the dog. I saw some internet comments, and there was more focus on that dog. And that's a terrible thing that I see happening in our community more and more. And I'm not against pets. I'm not against dogs. That's not the point I'm trying to make here. God does tell us to be kind to them, and they are a companion to many people. But I see many times people have more of a love for animals than what they do for human life. We see that with abortion all the time. If you talk to some of those same people, I would love to take an interview of people that are, like, I'm going to say, over the top for animals, and see where they stand on the issue of abortion. The third one is the sentence about her being alive for 20 minutes while they drove around in the back. That sounds so horrible to even imagine. But if we start to think about this in the view of eternity, and let's step away from this particular situation, and let's just go to a situation in our life. If we knew that we were living something below God's best, if we knew that we were purposely, willfully living in sin, and something like this happened to us, and we had 20 minutes alive of extreme pain and suffering, but it gave us a chance to cry out to the God in the midst of that situation. If you look at this from an eternal standpoint, something that painful and horrible could be a blessing. I don't know why I just felt led that I had to put that in there, but it changes. It really does. You know, I would want that. I would want that for me. If I knew that I was doing something wrong, I would want those 20 minutes of pain that I could get right, but we're not promised that, which is why we need to get right with God all the time, every day. So it comes down to, what's our job in all this? As we feel fear and things pushing in and our lives governed by fear, Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission, and especially the last verse of it. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power in heaven is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And listen to this part. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. He's given a task. He's told us, I'm sending you out into a horrible world, but I'm going to be with you, and I want you to do some stuff. It has to be you, the church, that does that, that goes out and gets this job done. Nobody else is doing it. Nothing's getting better on its own. It's going to be up to us to overcome our fear and our comfort levels to go forward to where we need to go. And that's one of the reasons why Love Inc. needs Acts Community Church and the other churches in the county to come together to help do this. Because we see so many that are deceived with the wrong perceptions that need discipled and mentored, and they need loved into the kingdom. We have people calling with problems and situations, and they're opening the doors of their house and are saying, will you come in? And so if it means getting into their front door by a men's group saying, hey, we're going to make some deliveries for Love Inc., we're going to carry a couch in, and while we're there, we're going to say, can we pray with you? Is there anything else that's going on in your life that you need help with? And it's a chance to truly, I mean, it's an invitation to walk right in, you know? Many times I hear churches saying, well, we need to do more in the community this year. Well, here's people asking, say, will you come in? But yet we struggle to find people to make deliveries and to interact and pray with people when they're there. Many times we'll hear people that, yes, they went and took and delivered a thing, but they wouldn't step out of the comfort zone to pray with the people while they're there and to start to show them that light. Will you help to a greater capacity in 2015 be that light in the dark and in this confused world? Will you look for ones in your neighborhood to develop relationship with, ones you normally wouldn't speak with, in because of what we look at is a morally distorted world? Ministry needs to be intentional, and it happens one soul at a time. That's how it happens. Just somebody talking to somebody, and finally they say, I need God. And one soul at a time, one person talk to another. We see Billy Graham crusades and thousands of people going down to the front. But just think about, it's still happening on a very personal level, just one at a time, although many others may be going like a big Billy Graham crusade like that. Think of all the people that fed into the lives of those before they even went or were drugged to a Billy Graham conference. So we don't want to be bogged down by this worry and fear. We can't be scared to step out of our comfort zones. God has work for us to do. He has a plan. He's called us to do it. He's commissioned us to do it. He said, I'm going to be there with you. That we need to really start to see things for what they really are and take a look at our lives. Are we really out there making a difference in the lives of those that God has put in our circle influence, whether it's at work, whether it's in our neighborhood, whatever it may be? Yes, we need to go to jobs and work and earn money to keep things rolling in the society we live in. But what if we really got up each day as we headed out to work and think, okay, God, I'm going to keep my eyes open today. I'm going to be ready. And Lord, I'm asking you to put somebody in my path today. What if we truly did that day after day after day? So let's just think about this week. And Lord, we just come to you now. And Lord, I just pray that these words will just ring in our hearts the rest of this week. Lord, I just pray that we'll just think about this. And Lord, I just pray that you will show us what you have for us to do in our lives, in our circle of influence. Lord, we know there's so many out there that's hurting. Lord, there's probably people in our hearts right now that we can just see that are headed down a bad path. And Lord, yes, we know they have free will and that they're going to choose what they want. But Lord, I just pray that their blood won't be on our hands, Lord, that we will have spoken to them. We will have made a way. We will have showed them and invested in their lives to show them that there's a better way. Lord, we just ask this in your holy name. Amen.